The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Well, it's been another record-breaking night at the World Cup last night.
Messi. Gonzalez. Back to Messi. Messi! His first World Cup hat-trick! And it's a record setter!
That's the Argentina captain, Lionel Messi, becoming the oldest ever player to score a hat-trick at the World Cup. That also happened on the night where superstars Kylian Mbappe and Erling Haaland led their respective countries to victory. John Bruin of The Guardian joins me now. Hello, John.
Good morning, Claire. How are you?
I'm good. How are you surviving the hours of this World Cup, firstly?
Well, I don't think I am, to be honest. I watched the Haaland show, but I couldn't stay up for the Messi show last night. It's pushing it to stay up all night. If you've got a job as well, that's the difficult part, right?
That's the problem, isn't it? That is the problem. But just let's talk about Lionel Messi. I mean, I said that he was breaking records there, becoming the oldest ever player to score a hat-trick in the World Cup. But I was just reading some analysis of the performance and looking back on the videos this morning. He's just kind of tootling around the pitch. His only job is to get the ball in the back of the net if he can, if he's in the right place at the right time. And invariably, that ends up happening.
Yeah. I mean, spectacular strikes, weren't they? Just incredible. For a man of his advancing years, he has managed to pare down football to a series of, scoring spectacular goals. Though I should say, it should be mentioned, he probably should have been sent off before this.
That's right.
Are we to start twitching the conspiracies about this? I don't know if you saw the footage of when Messi's going for his hat trick and has a shot saved. We cut to Gianni Infantino with a big smile on his face because Messi scoring a hat trick, well, that washes away quite a bit of the controversy, doesn't it?
Well, it's like we were saying before the World Cup, you know, all of the controversies around it. Then once the football starts, everybody starts talking about the football. And if Messi scores a hat trick, that dominates the headlines today and probably tomorrow. So you can see where we're going with this.
Yes, absolutely. So, yeah, Messi scores a hat-trick and stories of the treatment of the Iran team having to fly out of the US on the day of the game, that drops down the sidebar of shame or whatever, doesn't it? And therefore, we talk about Messi, we talk about record-breaking, we talk about World Cup legacy and stuff like that. This is it. Football, the brilliance of some of the football played at World Cups and the brilliance of the World Cup... it was put to me that the sport washes itself, doesn't it? It washes away quite a lot of ills, but ills that we shouldn't forget. I think it would be irresponsible to do that.
And did you think that Messi should have been sent off?
Yes, I do. Yeah, if that was an Algerian, he'd have been sent off for it, you know. And that's it. You can't do that. And in an era of VAR. That's a red card. Messi knew he'd done it as well. I don't know if he did it deliberately, but he knew that he'd committed the offence. It was nasty. But, you know, he's a crotchety old man, isn't he? That's the thing. But he's also a brilliant footballer as well.
What is he, 38?
I think he's 39 during the tournament.
Okay.
So,
he mentioned something, didn't he, John, about personal problems at the end of the match, and thanks to everybody for helping me get through it. We don't know what he's talking about, though. He didn't elaborate.
No. And this is the thing with Messi, is he's unknowable, isn't he? That's the thing. He keeps himself. He's a superstar who no one really knows. That's it. There is this. There are occasional flashes of personality. I don't know if you recall back in the 22 World Cup, there was him speaking to being quite abusive actually towards the Dutch players in a side of him that we've never really seen. Obviously there is this deep competitive edge, there must be, if he's continuing on like this, but we're not sure. And it probably won't come out, or you know, the back channels will reveal it perhaps, but that's just Messi. We don't know him. He's different to Ronaldo, isn't he? Ronaldo almost presents this sort of Stepford Wives version of himself, doesn't he, with all the social media stuff. Messi is on lots of adverts, but even in adverts, he sort of is unknowable there too, isn't he? He's just an unspeaking guy, you know. Only David Beckham is more present, from what I understand, of all the advertising out there. Beckham is advertising everything. Chainsaws, I think I saw at one point. But
That in itself is extraordinary. And there's a whole story to talk about there, which we won't go into now, with him and his family and all the rest of it. But I want to talk to you about Iraq and Norway. I mean, Norway haven't been in the World Cup for 28 years, Iraq for four decades. I heard a gorgeous interview on the BBC World Service this morning with this American Iraqi fan who travelled 6 hours on a plane with his family to get to that game. And he said it was such a joy to have people talk about our footballers and not our problems that we've experienced in our country for decades. And just the pure joy that they had from that experience. And this interview had taken place after the match, when they were defeated 4-1 by Norway, but such a joy for them to be there in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 1986 was the last time they were in the World Cup. And the Iraqi team actually has been quite decent. I remember them winning the Asian Cup at a time when the country was at its worst during the conflict, back to mid-2000s. So there's a lot of footballing legacy there, but the same for Iran as well, in that region. They're very strong teams. But it feels like this is, again, we go to the sort of soothing balm of the World Cup, don't we? That nationhood can be expressed in a slightly different way by football. It's not military. It's a national pride that a team can bring, to people from the diaspora of a country can go and watch their team play and enjoy them. And even when they lose, just to be at a World Cup feels so precious. I mean, I remember the first World Cup game I ever went to was Saudi Arabia Tunisia, which doesn't sound the most glamorous fixture, does it? But I gained an understanding of how much it meant to the people that were there from Saudi and from Tunisia, that were just, you know, to be at a World Cup, to be at the whole world looking at your team, it means so much. And again, it does. This is what wipes away some of the stuff that Gianni and Trump and all these people. It's that's the sweet spot that they can feed off, and that's the sort of unforgivable bit about the cynicism that goes on with the World Cup, isn't it?
So France beat Senegal last night, and I see people are saying now that we have seen in the second half of that match the team to beat, that France have arrived. Do you agree?
Yes, I think that's true. I mean, Mbappe seems to turn it on at a World Cup, doesn't he? But they've got Mbappe, they've got Dembele, they've got this Michael Olise, who we in England regret. He's from South London. We regret that he chose to play for France, because he is such a fantastic player, and he was a real talent at Crystal Palace. But since he's gone to Bayern Munich, we've seen what a brilliant player he is. That's it, isn't it? In a World Cup, they were not great against Senegal in the first half. Senegal were very good. They're a very talented team. And then they can just turn on the afterburners and be brilliant. And Mbappe can be that guy. That perhaps he isn't for Real Madrid. He scores a lot of goals for Real Madrid, but his image has been tarnished a little bit. And the things with Mbappe is, below the Ronaldo, Messi, I mean, these two guys are still knocking around. He's probably the world's best or most famous player, but he's never quite got to their level. That's the thing, and that's it. That Messi and Ronaldo did set, and Messi in particular actually set such impossible standards for those to follow.
And listen, we have the big one tonight: England Croatia, 9 o'clock. How are you feeling ahead of it, John?
Well, a certain amount of trepidation, of course. With it, the whole thing about a World Cup is most people experience it at home, don't they? And this is it. We've had to wait a long time. It feels like the World Cup's been going on for weeks and there's been no England. My sympathies go to my colleagues that have had to cover essentially nothing for weeks while England don't play and everyone does. And so we enter the tournament. We're up against a Croatian team who are very familiar opponents. so familiar. I mean, some of these, they've got a 40-year-old. They've got, I think some of the players have played like 130 games together and stuff like that. It's incredible. But expectation in this country is high. But I don't think there's quite, we've quite got the John Bull thing of a few years ago of just, we're going to win this. We have to win
doesn't
this.
Doesn't seem to be there. And this will be an interesting match because England, they've won 6 times out of 11 meeting Croatia, but Croatia's taken 3 and drawn 2. So we will wait and see what happens. John, we have to leave it there, but good to talk to you. And I'm sure we'll chat again over the course of the World Cup. That's John Bruin there from The Guardian.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.